4 p.m.
You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Hawk.
Hey, I'm Alex Lefebvre, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
And welcome to Orange Grove Radio, the show that plays the latest and greatest in Canadian jazz. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and as always, we have an incredible show prepared for you today. We have some amazing tracks lined up for you today, including music by Rebecca Hennessy's Fog, Amy Cervini, Peripheral Vision, Trevor Giancola, and I had the honor of chatting with Montreal-based bassist Alex Lefebvre, and we got to talking all about his brand new album, Naufragé, but that's a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. As always, if you'd like to ask us a question, tell us a story, or make a request, you can tweet us at OG Publicity, and you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Orange Grove Publicity. All right, we've got a lot of music to play for you today, so let's get right into it. Starting off the show today is a track by Rebecca Hennessy from her album Two Calls. Two Calls is an incredible album from Toronto-based trumpeter Rebecca Hennessy. The 2017 release features Fog Brass Band and showcases a culmination of influences from her diverse trumpet career. Hennessy's writing brings the traditions of New Orleans party brass bands, Balkan folk music, country blues, and high-energy jazz rock. These songs, in all their diversity, evoke her musical and extra-musical influences, bringing a unique mix of modern and traditional jazz with themes of nature. This is Red Herring by Rebecca Hennessy's Fog Brass Band, featuring Tom Richard on trombone, Jay Burr on tuba, Don Scott on guitar, Tanya Gill on piano, Nico Dan on drums, and Rebecca Hennessy on trumpet, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome back to Orange Grove Radio. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and this is the show where we play the latest and greatest in Canadian jazz. The Socialist Night School is a Toronto, Canada-based 19-piece modern jazz orchestra led by fast-rising 25-year-old orchestration trailblazer Chelsea McBride, whose melody-driven big band compositions often mask the complexity of their internal structures. On this, the group's debut full-length recording, McBride uses her jazz orchestra as a vehicle for storytelling, each tune often having an accompanying narrative directive. This is Intransitory by Chelsea McBride's Socialist Night School. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio. Welcome back to Orange Grove Radio. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and this is the show where we play the latest and greatest in Canadian jazz. Next up, we're going to be talking about Irrational Revelation and Mutual Humiliation, the newest album by Toronto-based band Peripheral Vision. Irrational Revelation and Mutual Humiliation is a double album celebrating more than 10 years of the collaboration that is the Juno-nominated Canadian jazz quartet Peripheral Vision. Peripheral Vision is more than guitarist Don Scott and bassist Michael Herring, the band's leaders and composers. It's their collaboration and friendship with saxophonist Trevor Hogg and drummer Nick Fraser. This music is truly a collective process born out of long hours in tour vans and late-night excursions in Germany. This is their fifth album and third collaborating with co-producer Jean Martin, and they are really excited by his mad scientist creative input on this double album. He helped imagine a bigger sound for the record, adding layers of overdubs and studio treatments to the live off-the-floor recordings, and orchestrated guest appearances by Michael Davidson on vibraphone, Chris Pruden on Prophet 6 analog synth, and Craig Harley on organ and Rhodes. This is Whistle Up a Rope by Peripheral Vision, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio.
Hi, this is saxophonist Tara Davidson from Toronto, Canada, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio on 101.5 The Hawk.
In the spring of 2016, Toronto guitarist Trevor Giancola assembled his dream band, a quartet featuring Seamus Blake, Rick Rizzotto, and Adam Arruda, three expat Canadians making waves on the international jazz scene. He took this newly formed band to the legendary Systems 2 recording studio in Brooklyn, New York, for a brief session to record three pieces written specifically with this group in mind. Trevor says, "We recorded live off the floor, no edits, no overdubs. It was also mixed live. This off-the-cuff session turned out perfectly, better than I could have ever imagined. It became the first monumental step towards what would eventually become Sonnet 18, my second album as a bandleader." The next step came in 2018 when Giancola met Ron Skinner, a veteran engineer and producer who had recently launched a new label, TQM Recording Company. "Ron and I share a lot of musical interests," says Trevor, "and it was instantly clear to me that he is someone who cares deeply about capturing and presenting beautiful music." After a first phone conversation, the wheels were in motion to record a full-length album together. It was in February of 2019 when Giancola reassembled his dream team at Toronto's Union Sound and recorded what we now know to be Sonnet 18. This is It's All Good, Man by Trevor Giancola, featuring Seamus Blake on saxophone, Rick Rizzotto on bass, and Adam Arruda on drums. I'm Jenna Marie, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio. Thank you. Hi, welcome back to Orange Grove Radio, the show that plays the latest and greatest in Canadian jazz. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and next up, we're going to be talking about Alex Lefebvre. Alex Lefebvre is a bassist, composer, and educator based in Montreal. He is a founding member of the Park X Trio, winners of the 2010 TD Grand Prix de Jazz at the Festival International de Jazz de Montréal. He is also a widely celebrated sideman, having shared the stage and recorded with a wealth of Montreal artists, including Michelle Sweeney, Joel Miller, Sonia Johnson, and many more. Lefebvre's new album, Naufragés, or Castaways, is the follow-up to YUL, his critically acclaimed 2018 quartet recording. Here, Lefebvre presents a new collection of 5 original compositions and 3 covers that reflect his contemporary aesthetic and visceral sound. I had the great privilege of interviewing Alex Lefebvre for today's show, so without further ado, here's our interview. Hi, Alex. How are you doing? Thanks for being on the show.
Cool, Jenna. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Real pleasure to see you virtually.
Yes, it's a crazy time, isn't it? But you have a new album, and I'm so excited to chat with you about it. It's so beautiful. I really loved it, and I loved listening. I really enjoyed listening to it, and I can't wait to play 2 tracks from the album for our listeners here today on Orange Grove Radio. And to start, I wanted to ask you, for our English listeners, can you define and explain a little bit the title Naufragés?
Yeah, so Naufragés. I guess a literal translation would mean castaways. And so it's sort of a funny story because I find it really sums up exactly how I felt through most of the pandemic, of really just sort of being excluded away on a small little island in my mind. And I guess the overall story is I used to have a somewhat regular gig at these 2 places. One was called a Bootlegger, another one was called Bar Social. And I'd kind of do what I do on the record. So it'd be like a mix of jazz standards, my own stuff. And I always sort of did some like left of center pop covers and stuff, or like weird covers. And he sort of, the guy who was in charge of the booking really sort of put me on to be like, man, you should do more of this stuff. It's really, really, really great. So in March of 2020, the song I really wanted to do and was look forward to doing was A Message in a Bottle by Sting and the Police. And that's like one of the opening lines. It's like, just a castaway. And I was really looking forward to being able to play the song. I transcribed the whole thing, made like quick and dirty charts. And of course, the gig never happened because, you know, the world shut down for about a year and a half. But lyrically, I'd say that was like on my mind through like the whole pandemic. And one of the songs off the album is actually sort of like based. I guess that was sort of the initial idea from it. And anyway, so the cover art is from a friend of mine called Daphne Côté Ali. She's an actress. I met her through, I do a bit of film scoring for different media. And she was in a few of the projects I did. And so I met her at one point at some shindig and found out that she had like a bunch of really cool visual art that she was doing under an alias. She calls it Le Microcosme, sort of like microcosmos, cosmos. And yeah, just really fell in love with like all of her work. And this is before the pandemic hit. So I'd say the whole album was sort of visually inspired. And really early on, I had asked her, hey, I'm going to, you know, if you agree, I'd like to license one of your pieces to be the cover art. And she was like, yeah, great. I'd love to. Or she was maybe going to create one. It wasn't super sure. And then for me, it was really hard because there was too much good stuff. So I'm very terrible sometimes at choosing what I have to pick when there's like 50 things that I like. So I asked her, I was like, Daphne, which one would you want to be on the cover? And that was the one that she came up with. And visually I was like, wow, this is already super cool. Like 10 on 10, this is totally great. And it really fits. And I was like, oh, is there a title to it? She's like, yeah, it's called Naufragés. It's called Castaways. And then I was like, wow, can I also take the title? Like it's totally amazing. And I just really thought it was one of those, serendipitous moments where it really sort of expressed what I felt really deeply about the whole project.
Oh, that really went full circle.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Who would have thought?
And that was like meant to be, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I find I'm kind of lucky in that sense where I have like a bunch of weird, funny stories that always sort of pan out. So I feel like my life's somewhat like a movie, or maybe I'm just like tracing all these lines and connections in my own mind. But yeah, it makes it easy to be inspired.
That's really interesting. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. Can you tell us a bit more about the music of the project? Like, what is the essence of this album and what inspired you to make it?
Well, this is probably going to be a cliche for a lot of people that put out an album in 2021, but it was kind of really written during the pandemic. And I guess I'll go back a bit before that. So I had a sort of timeline in my mind. I put out a record with pretty much the same quartet in August 2018. And I figured I was going to take about 2 years to get the other one going. I just sort of knew in advance what I wanted to do. And I had a whole plan set out where when the pandemic hit, I was actually with a study grant from the Canada Council. I was studying in New York for a bit. And really early on in my trip, the whole thing got canceled. And I just sort of came home. I'm glad I did. I have friends that when they had the chance to come home, they waited a bit while they were on tour, and it got kind of crazy. So I'm lucky that I kind of got home pretty quick. But anyway, the whole thing just basically really got thrown off. I was expecting to hang out in New York and write a bunch of music and sort of get inspired by all that. And finally, I just sort of came home, and for a couple of months, I'd say until about May, like most people, I think I was just sort of like sussing it out and didn't really have any creative drive. I mean, we were probably all just like terrified at home and waiting to see what would happen. And then sort of like right away, I switched. I find that there's maybe like not two extremes, but there's some people where the pandemic seemed to like kill all creativity and the drive. And I can totally get that. Just sort of like a lack of inspiration. And I'm sort of in the other camp where I was like, man, I just got to get this out of me. It's like, even if I try to suppress it, I think it'd be impossible. But it was just really sort of inspired by everything I was sort of going through. And then I tend to write really fast. So the way I typically work, it wasn't always the case for me, but I used to be slow and terrible. Now I'm quicker and slightly less terrible. So slightly less every time. That's what's fun about getting older. And so I typically give myself 1 to a maximum of 3 hours, and I have to have like the song. I have to at least have like a complete sort of like, typically it's lead sheets, and I typically have the whole idea. And then I'll do that like 15 or 20 times. So I think
what?
For this record, I probably got between 15 and 20 songs in about a month. And then
wow.
After that, I sort of go through everything and just sort of like reduce them. So I'll maybe keep like the top 10, and then that becomes a top 7. And then for this record, it was actually a top 5. And then after that, I probably take about a couple of weeks or a month to just sort of like edit them down, and like maybe I'll revise some stuff. So some of them, it's pretty rare that they're fully complete right off the bat, though it has happened. And then, yeah, I just sort of like edit that down. And then just sort of like work out the kinks maybe in a few rehearsals. But generally for me, the whole process is like really quick. And then I just get lazy for another like 2 years and get wait for a timer to go off. And then like, okay, cool. Do it again.
You work well under pressure.
Kind of, well, it's not so much pressure. It's more like, one of my philosophies in life is to just like stay inspired, and like that, you know, and everybody's like, keep that childlike wonder or whatever. So it's like, I try to never make it, like stressful or hard or complicated or anything like that. And then when I sit down and do it, then it sort of gets done. But I'm not the type that's like always writing for my own pleasure. It's like there's select moments where I'm just like, okay, now I do this. And actually most of my time is spent like practice time, I guess, is more like studying stuff or like learning tunes and learning all sorts of different stuff. Or I also have to write a lot sometimes for scoring work. So it's useful to be able to like crank stuff out fast when you work in that kind of kind of field, because there's like no time to do anything and second guess anything. I'm Alex Lefebvre, and this is Time of the Barracudas, followed by Boiler Room from my album Naufragé on Orange Grove Radio. Hey, this is bass player Alex Lefebvre from Montreal, and you're listening to Orange Grove Radio on 101.5 The Hawk.
everybody, and welcome to Orange Grove Radio. We've almost made it to the end of the show, but don't go anywhere because we still have one amazing song to play for you. I'm Jenna Marie, and as always, I absolutely love putting this show together. And if you have any questions, or you want to tell me a story, or you have a request, please connect with us. You can tweet us at OG Publicity, and you can also follow us on social media at Orange Grove Publicity. I can't believe that we are on episode number 10. How exciting! 10 episodes filled with Canadian jazz, and I know that so many of you are absolutely loving hearing your favorite jazz songs, but also discovering new Canadian jazz artists. If you love the show and you'd like to hear previous episodes, you can now listen on Spotify. All you got to do is search up Orange Grove Radio, and there you'll find all of our previous shows. Closing today's show is a track from Amy Cervini's No One Ever Tells You, hailed by Time Out New York for tearing down boundaries between old and new jazz styles, rock, pop, country, and more. Toronto-born, New York-based vocalist Amy Cervini follows up her 2014 Anzac release, Jazz Country, with the gritty, blues-oriented No One Ever Tells You. Joined by her brilliant longtime cohorts Jesse Lewis on guitar, Michael Cabe on piano, Matt Aronoff on bass, Jared Schoenig on drums, and special guest organist Gary Versace on four cuts. Cervini puts her stamp on songs that have resonated with her as a mother, as a partner, and as a woman. In the album notes, Cervini says that these are songs about love, struggle, and empowerment. Fun fact is I actually discovered this song by listening to a playlist made by Amy Cervini's brother and my co-producer, Ernesto Cervini. He has this playlist on Spotify called Morning Jazz, and this song is on it, and I've listened to it a million times. This is Surrey with the Fringe on Top by Amy Cervini from her album No One Ever Tells You. I'm your host, Jenna Marie, and this is Orange Grove Radio. Bye-bye!
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high-stepping strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through their shutters and their eyes will are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather, with eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down, in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking. Ain't no finer rig, I'm thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for my shiny little Surrey. The fringe on.
I can see the stars getting blurry when we ride back home in the Surrey. Riding slowly home in the Surrey with the fringe on the top. I can feel the day getting older. Feel a sleepy head near my shoulder. Nodding, drooping close to my shoulder. Till it falls kerplop. The sun is swimming on the rim of a hill. The moon is taking a header. Just as I'm thinking all the earth is still, a lark will wake up. Got a dream that's worth keeping. Whoa, you team, and just keep creeping at a slow clip clop. Don't you
hurry, little sir.